Appreciate the service thus far. When our brother Burnell began the Sunday school lesson, I recall him saying that there are two destinies. It's either heaven or hell. Maybe the message this morning follows too much on the heels of the Sunday school lesson, but I make no apology for that. But I'd like you to go with me for a lesson, for a message text this morning to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Where Jesus talks about two gates. He talks about two pathways. And I seek an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God for further encouragement to continue to remain steadfast, to continue to remain stable in our walk with the Lord. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." How can we enter the kingdom of heaven? Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, if you go back to the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Christ, you go back to Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 10. We'll leave our text a little bit here. Where Jesus shares the Beatitudes, beginning in verse 3, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." We find there, and then he tells us to rejoice, that throughout the Sermon on the Mount, as he gives this message, Christ taught about the character of those in his kingdom. We find in these Beatitudes the characteristics of those who will be on a straight and narrow way. They are the poor in spirit. They are those who mourn over sin, a godly sorrow for sin. They are the meek who submit to the Lord's leadership, and they hunger for righteousness. And the list could go on. Ultimately, led to persecution. It was mentioned in our Sunday school lesson that persecution only drove the church deeper, and that Satan, alas, in these number of years has been so effective as an angel of light, coming in a very deceptive way. There were in Jesus' day the so-called spiritual leaders of the church, the Pharisees and the scribes, were hypocritical, and he calls them hypocrites. You can find that in Matthew later on in the chapter. They were concerned about the outward appearance and not the inward. Here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in the two verses that we read, Christ gave his conclusion, the application of the sermon. He calls all listening to choose which path you will walk. Whether you will walk on the broad road or whether you will walk on the narrow road. He talks about the two different destinies, which kingdom each road will lead to. No one is physically born into the kingdom of God. We are born with that carnal nature. And when we come to the crossroads in life, where we must choose which road we will walk, which road we will continue to walk on the broad road, or whether we will choose the narrow road. It matters not if your parents were Christians. It matters not if you were born in the Mennonite church. It matters not if you went to the Mennonite church all your years. But what matters most of all, have you been born again? We will never ride to eternity. We will never ride to heaven on the coattails of a Mennonite heritage. But at the end of Christ's sermon, he challenges his hearers, because many would be tempted to simply stand in amazement. But he says in Matthew chapter 7, in verses 20, 28 and 29, in the end of this sermon, he says this: "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." He taught them to love their enemies. He teaches us to bless them that curse you. Because of his words, Christ has been called a great teacher or a prophet. However, few who have heard these words have truly felt the weight of them and been pressed to make a decision. Which kingdom will you be a part of? There are two gates, there are two roads that lead to an eternal destiny somewhere. The psalmist describes these two roads in life. Go to Psalms 1. It depicts the very two same roads of life. It's a short psalm. I'm going to take time to read it. Psalm chapter 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." The psalmist describes here the two pathways that we're talking about: the pathway of the wicked, which leads to destruction, and the pathway of the righteous, which leads to life. The righteous are delighted in the word of the Lord. Do you delight in God's word today? We talked about the importance of spending time every day in the word of God. It ever refreshes us. It ever guides us in the way of truth. Do we delight to meditate on it all the day long? And we will become like trees which prosper in the various seasons of life. In the beginning of this psalm, calls worshipers to choose. True worshipers will follow the pathway of the righteous. True worshipers will follow the God who guides them. There have always been two systems of religion in the world: the system of Satan and the system of God. Which system are you a part of? Morning, I want to look at 4 points in relation to the wide pathway. And then we want to spend most of our time looking at the straight and narrow way. The wide pathway, number one, is a road that all begin on. We're all born with that sinful nature. And unless we deliberately choose to step off of that road onto the narrow road, when we get to that time in life, we are born with that sinful nature because man had allowed sin to separate him from God. No decision this morning needs to be made to stay on the broad road. To do nothing, we will simply float along. We will simply stay on the broad road. But we must make a decision to step onto the narrow road, the narrow gate. As we think of two gates, I think of two gates this morning. I think of two entrances. An entrance to somewhere. The broad gate, you can take everything with you. The narrow gate is a narrow path. But the broad road, you can take the bitter feelings, the bitterness and the hatred and the murder and all of that that goes with it. We'll follow you to the judgment, to land in eternal hellfire forever. But the narrow gate, we give our heart to the Lord and we send our sins on before us to judgment. No decision needs to be made to stay on the broad road. We must choose to get off that path and onto the narrow road that leads to life eternal. Number two, the wide pathway is spacious. It's easy to follow. The broad and easy way can be followed without thought. There is plenty of space to walk. There is plenty of space for the attractive things of the world to grow and to allure. There is plenty of space for a person to wonder and do whatever the flesh may desire. But it's difficult to wander off its path because it's so wide. There's deception on that road. And I think of the mid to late 70s or early 80s when the doctrine of unconditional eternal security swept through the church, and I see where those families are today. It's because they got off the narrow way. They were fathers, they were parents who were in the church and involved in the church. But unconditional eternal security swept them off their feet onto the broad road. And I see where their children are today. Brothers and sisters, we need to be strong in the Word of God so that we can stand against the delusions that Satan brings into our lives. The broad way is the way of the unthoughtful, the way of the undisciplined person. The lazy, or the worldly, or the ungodly, or the materialistic minded. The one who is carnally minded. This pathway is inclusive, as it includes the various views, religions, and lifestyles in this world. It is the pathway of self-achievement and works. Thirdly, the wide pathway is very popular today. It doesn't matter how you live or what religion you have, we're all going to the same place, so they think. The Bible says there's only a few that find it. That tells me right there that we have to search for it. But with God, we can find it. We can find that straight and narrow gate. Christ says that only few find the narrow way, and therefore the broad way is popular. It's very easy, and it's very tempting. And since crowds are on it, it is very alluring. Those who don't follow it are looked down upon as being very peculiar. We are called a peculiar people. We're considered strange, that we don't run with them to the same excess of riot. And fourthly, and lastly, on the broad road, is the wide pathway leads to destruction. It leads to hell. Destruction does not mean those on this pathway cease to exist. They don't. All will live somewhere eternally, either in damnation or with God. Destruction refers to eternal ruin. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Someone once said, how can that be? Because with fire there's always light. With God all things are possible. I believe if it says there'll be darkness, there'll be darkness. Though if there be weeping and gnashing of teeth, that's what it'll be. Revelation 14:11. I'm going to turn to that one yet, and we'll leave the rest. Revelation chapter 14, verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. If you want another scripture, you can turn to Revelation 20, verse 10. However, this ruin doesn't just happen in the end of the pathway. This ruin happens because of decisions you made here in life. And you never change that decision. And so you go on into eternity, separated from God forever. The world's views on marriage, parenting, education, and success, etc., and the list could go on, all lead to our ruin. The wide pathway leads to earthly and eternal ruin. Now I'd like to go back to our text verses in chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And we want to think more about this narrow gate, this narrow road that leads to heaven. The narrow pathway refers both to the need for conversion and the continuing process of sanctification. Apart from repentance, apart from genuine repentance, we will never get on this road. The Gospel of Luke tells us, apart from repentance, you'll never see the kingdom of God. You will never get to heaven apart from repentance. But what are the characteristics of those on this road? Jesus brought that out very clearly in the Sermon on the Mount. We see, first of all, that this narrow pathway is very hard to find. It's hard to find. Few there be that find it. Unlike the broad way, the narrow way has to be found. We have to diligently seek for it. But God has promised that we will find it. God has promised we will find it. For some, this is easier than others. Some of us who have been raised in Christian homes and taught the Bible and are exposed to the gospel from a young age on certainly have a great responsibility of what we will do with it. There are others who live in parts of the country who have never heard the gospel. That's why I believe it's important that we take every opportunity, no matter where it is in the world today, to take the gospel to foreign lands. But finally, the choice is yours and mine. The choice is everybody's, what we do with that knowledge. Whatever a person's situation, the narrow way is not easy to find, and only few there'll be that find it. But it will always be found by the true seeker. God will never turn away a true seeker. I don't care where he finds himself in the world today. I don't care what situation he finds himself in. If we are truly seeking, God will always reward a true seeker. Secondly, this narrow pathway that we're talking about this morning is very unpopular. In our human minds, we so many times want to take the road of least resistance. That's our carnal nature. We want to take the easiest road. Therefore, people are naturally inclined to follow the broad path of the world. To find and follow the narrow path, one must turn away from the crowds today. And for some, it may mean turning away from family. It may mean turning away from friends. But God is able to give you grace to do that. Sometimes it is a lonely pathway through those who follow it. However, you're never alone because Christ is there with us. Christ is walking on this road with us. Thirdly, the narrow pathway must be entered by one deliberate choice of yours and mine. We must make that choice to enter that pathway. One side post, we could say, is the poverty of spirit. In Matthew 5:3, one must come before God recognizing his spiritual bankruptcy, his desperate need for God. He needs God in order to become righteous and acceptable to enter heaven. The second side post is mourning over sin, a godly sorrow for sin. Because this person is far from being right with God. He mourns his sin and desperately seeks God and has a godly sorrow for that sin. Do you have a godly sorrow this morning for the things that you have done in your life? Are you sorry for the things that you've committed, or do you still like to talk about it? I lay that challenge before you this morning. In this reality that causes a person to cry out to God for salvation, it causes him to choose to enter the kingdom of heaven, of heaven's gates. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10, verses, beginning at verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To enter this narrow path, we must make that choice. We must in faith accept God. Accept Jesus as our personal Savior. We must cry out for the mercy of God, which is found in Jesus Christ and his cross at Calvary. Those who accept him, it says, shall be saved. We will experience salvation. Fourthly, the narrow pathway is restricted because of biblical revelation. God's word will guide us on that narrow pathway. He will guide us as kingdom citizens. Our citizenship is in heaven. God's word is the gate. As a person needs to hear and respond to the gospel to be saved. However, biblical revelation is also the pathway. It guides and in some sense restricts both the believer's actions and attitudes, because our actions and attitudes this morning must line up with the word of God. It is our guide. God's word keeps us on the straight and narrow way and keeps us from the broad path that we talked about of the world. In John 8:31, Christ said, if you abide in my word, I will abide in you. We need the word of God this morning to guide us. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us in the way, in this narrow way. Fifthly, the narrow pathway requires believers to leave the things that we counted precious before, to accepting God's things as precious to us. It calls for a complete turnaround. It calls for going another direction. It requires a change in direction. Since the path is narrow, one cannot bring the things that we counted precious before along. The gate is too narrow. We must constantly forsake the things of this world. In Ephesians 4:22-24, Paul calls us to put off the old man and put on the new. We can no longer live in lust. We can no longer live in anger, in pride. But we must put on the fruit of the Spirit. We must put on the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, and all the other virtues that are mentioned there are the things that we must put on. And we must put off self. At the foot of the cross, we must deny self. We must crucify self. As seen in our Lord's Prayer, we must cry out for God's will to be done. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives within me. As we walk on that narrow road this morning, it is Christ that is living within us. That gives us that power to stay on the straight and narrow way. We must give up the crowds. And many times, even sometimes, friends and family, as I mentioned before. In the sixth place, the narrow pathway can become difficult and does become difficult to the flesh. God has not promised a bed of ease. He's not promised a road of easy gliding along. But he has promised you and I this morning that he'll be with us through every valley, over every mountain that he calls us to cross. We will have battles to face. We talked about a battle this morning. We will fight against the ungodly attitudes and actions. If it calls us to plug out our eye, cut off our hand, whatever it calls us to do, following Christ is a call to be perfect, to strive for perfection as our Heavenly Father has called us to be perfect as I am, as he is perfect. God told Abraham that. We need to fight against sin, and we can in the power of God. And we need to conquer things on every hand. We need to help others conquer things as well. In Matthew 7, 1 to 6, Christ calls for his disciples to help others to take the specks and splendors out of their eyes. But first of all, we must remove the beam from our own eye. As mentioned, it's a narrow pathway. It's difficult because of the hate that the world has for the things of God. God alone knows what lies ahead. As we live in a society today that's becoming more ungodly than ever before. But he has promised to go with us. To teach that adultery and abortion and homosexuality and all those things are wrong. Goes against our flow of society today. And to teach that abortion is wrong. Goes against the flow of our society today. Paul said, it is difficult that all who want to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. The broad road is an easy road, but the narrow way can become very difficult. In the seventh place, the narrow pathway leads to life eternal. That's the final reward in the end. When we get to glory, is the reward of eternal life. Though difficult, this pathway leads to life. And to enter, it is to experience new life in Christ for all eternity. There can be peace in the midst of storm as we think of the end results. There can be joy in the midst of hardship. Christ said, I came that you may have life and life more abundantly. In fact, as we walk with Christ, we will find this difficult path easy to follow. Christ said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. 28 to 30, rather. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I trust this morning that you are experiencing that rest in Christ as we walk on this pathway below. And I'd like to just put up my whiteboard here. I did prepare something. In 1 John chapter 5, I want to read several verses there in closing, along with a few other verses. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This passage tells us this morning that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son Jesus, who came to die on the cross, who gave his life. He has provided for us a way to obtain eternal life. Back in the garden when Adam failed, when Adam and Eve sinned, brought a separation between God, between a holy God and a sinful man. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, I'm going to turn to that one. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, ye shall be saved from wrath through him. God demonstrated his love for us by sending his Son to die for us. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin brought that separation between God and man. Bottom here, I have the cross in the center, where sinful man can now, through the blood of Jesus Christ, can meet a holy God. As we look at the work of Christ on Calvary, and I trust that as we come to communion twice a year, we can remember what Jesus has done for us. We can remember the work on Calvary. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans is full of scriptures in relation to this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then Romans chapter 3, again, in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. I did read that. No, it says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We all need to come to that point in life where we have to choose right or wrong, either the broad way or the narrow way. May God help each of us as we continue to walk this narrow pathway here below. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is not of any of works that so that no one can boast. This morning, dear ones, it is nothing that we have done that we could achieve salvation, but through Jesus Christ, through the shed blood of his Son, our Lord Jesus. May God help us to stay on the straight and narrow way, to be found faithful, that someday when we're ushered into eternity, we will be there with him forevermore. May God be praised this morning. May he allow the words that have been spoken and read in his word to sink into our hearts, that we might see the importance of ever staying on that straight and narrow way. Shall we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for your Son Jesus who died on the cross, who made a way possible that we can find that narrow gate to life eternal. God, we know there's many voices today. There are voices of deception. There are voices of... But we know, Lord, that your voice is the only one that leads to the narrow way. Lord, as we read your word from day to day and as we heed the voice of your Spirit, may that ever keep us on the straight and narrow way. as we journey through life. Pray for anyone here this morning that may be struggling. We pray, Lord, that you might help them find that narrow gate. Dear God, we just pray for every parent here this morning that you would give them wisdom to guide their families in the way of truth. It's what we ask in your name. Amen.